From the automotive capital of the world, welcome to The Car Show with Dan Petras and Brian Morton.
When I come up to a stop, if I use a brake and stop, then when I let off the brake to go, it jerks.
Problems with your car, truck, motorcycle, minivan, or RV? The solution is just a phone call away. 1-800-859-0957. That's 1-800-859-0957.
I put new front rotors, and when I turn left or right with my foot on the brake, I get a pulsation of the ABS.
And remember, The Car Show is designed for everyone, whether you do your own work, take your car to the dealership, or to the independent service center of your choice.
When it's cold and I start to move, it like the transmission slips and then it catches. What's the answer for that, guys?
Your calls and more when The Car Show returns.
Today's Q&A segment is powered by Hot Shot Secret. Mike writes in from Ohio about his 2015 Chevy Silverado 1500. He says, my truck has a persistent ticking noise at idle. Can it be fixed? And if so, how much will it cost? Well, that tick, tick, tick is usually lifter tick, common in many modern engines. Oil gets trapped in the lifters where it eventually cooks into carbon and varnish. This causes the lifter to stick or collapse, leading to that annoying metal-on-metal sound. But before you panic about a multi-$1,000 teardown, there's a professional-grade solution. We use Hot Shot Secret Tick Fix Plus Protect. It's a targeted oil enhancer that chemically dissolves burnt-on varnish to restore proper lifter movement. Infused with FR3 nanotechnology, it'll also reduce friction and wear by up to 30%. Simply replace 1 quart of oil with Tick Fix Plus Protect during your next change. It cleans while you drive and coats your engine internals to prevent future failure. Hot Shot Secret offers problem-specific solutions that are powered by science. It's available at Amazon and online at hotshotsecret.com.
This is The Car Show with Dan Petras and Brian Morton.
It is. Remember, every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, Dan and I are here answering your questions, taking your calls, fielding your emails, sending up smoke signals, I'm taking your pages. I'm not sure, Dan, what all we've got going on, but we will take any message from any source.
Well, talking about messages, there has been quite a few, but you know what I miss?
What?
The voicemails.
I know.
You know, we better, you know, people are a little, you know, while you're driving along and you've got your hands free going and
you're bored
stuck in traffic, you could always do that.
Yeah, you don't even have to talk about cars. You can talk about anything. Just give us a voicemail. We're just lonely guys. Want to remind everybody as we get started here that we're brought to you in part by Motorad, leading the way in advanced thermal engine management and evaporative emission solutions. The Motorad name is synonymous with quality and reliability, comprehensive coverage of vehicle models, and, as always, exceptional customer service. You can learn more at motorad.com. Let's start here with an email, Dan. This one's easy. There's no car, no make, model, mileage, anything like that, but I'm not sure you need it. It says, sorry if this isn't the right place to ask this, but I recently got a new Corsa, and my rear wiper blade doesn't touch the glass properly. It makes contact on the bottom side, but moves off of the glass in the middle section. I've changed the blade. That hasn't fixed the issue. So I wondered if you could tell me if you have any ideas what the problem could be.
Well, the problem could be something very, very simple. And that is that the wiper arm itself, okay, if you've got two areas, you have the arm, inside the arm is a spring. And of course, that has to pivot. The wiper arm has to pivot. So if they live in an area where there's a lot of, we'll say, salt that is used for de-icing during the winter months, that pivot point can become frozen. So what you need to do is get some penetrating oil, a good penetrant, and you put a little bit of drops around that pivot point, and you'll find out that it's binding. Well, that should move very, very freely. So continue to lubricate and move the arm back and forth. And then you'll find out at that point, of course, that with a new wiper blade, I always recommend a new wiper blade. You could always go to Advance Auto Parts and purchase their wiper blades, the peak wiper blades, the best thing to do, especially for that, for long life and you know, and a great wipe. That's what you want. You want a nice, even right. wipe. And, you know, a rear wiper is not used all the time, so you want to make sure you get a good quality blade like the peak blade, because of the fact that, you know, if it's out in the sun or whatever, it's going to withstand the ultraviolet rays a little bit longer. But if you loosen it up, it should wipe properly. And of course, on the other issue, if you do loosen it up and it feels very, very weak, mm-hmm. Like the spring tension isn't there anymore, then of course you need to replace the rear wiper arm. The arm itself has failed because of the weak spring. But 9 out of 10 times, it's because of a frozen area, corroded area for the pivot point on a wiper arm. And think about it. You know, how often, Brian, do you use your rear wiper?
You don't? I do. I know I use mine a lot.
Oh, really? Okay. Well,
I try to use it. If I'm using it in the front, if the front's on, I try to turn it on at least intermittently if it's raining, just to keep it clean back there.
Sure. Yeah. But that's because of how you drive back and forth. I know you're on the expressway a lot. So.
Yes, that's true. And that's why it is. It seems like it gets a little covered more. You know, and mine is weird. It only cleans a little part of the back window. So I if it doesn't clean it, I can't see anything back there. It's very flat.
Yes.
You know, so it's very strange.
Well, but you know, the thing of it is though, Brian, mm-hmm. you talk about that. I always want to see where I'm going and not where I've been. You know what I mean?
That's true. I don't know why. I've started like the last couple of years, when I turn on my front wipers, I always put the rear on intermittent. Maybe it's because my last car, but a couple cars ago, I had a Kia minivan that had that, and I never used it, and it got to be like this where it wasn't touching, and I got out one day and it was like 2 inches off of away from the windshield or the back windshield when it was moving. It didn't move across; it like moved out. And I don't know if somebody bent it or I bent it doing something.
No. It was because of the corrosion that forms. And when it forms, that's what happens. See, because if you have somewhat of a little curve in the back window, it's going to go to the highest point. And then when it gets back down to the bottom, the park, it's too far away from the glass.
Yeah.
And so you may not even see it. It could even be an eighth of an inch. It doesn't take much.
Right.
But normally the pivot point is corroded at the rear wiper. Arm assembly.
Yeah, and I think that's what would happen to this. This was a minivan I owned years ago, and it was rusted and corroded at the base. And I just sort of went, well, I guess I'll just deal with it, and tried to bend it, because you know I'm not mechanically inclined. You're the do it right guy. I'm the where's the duct tape guy.
Oh, I know.
And you know what, Dan? That didn't work at all. But since that happened to me, I use the back windshield wiper a lot when it rains, only because of that. Because I feel like if I'm using it more, it'll keep it loose and free of that corrosion and rust.
Right.
I'm not sure if that's true, but, you know, don't kill my fantasies, Dan.
Okay, I won't.
Well, remember, we're here all the time. Our voicemail is 313-405-9747. Easy to leave us a message. And if you want to call us live, we're here 10 a.m. Thursdays.
The 12-volt battery is an essential part of today's EVs or electric vehicles, playing multiple roles. First, it helps manage peak electrical loads, ensuring smooth operation of various systems. Second, it powers essential systems like security and over-the-air updates when the vehicle is off. And third, it ensures safety-critical and by-wire systems remain operational in the event of high-voltage system failure. You can drive to autobatteries.com for more information about 12-volt batteries. That's all right there at autobatteries.com. It's time to go in the shop courtesy of Advance Auto Parts. This past week, a technician ran into a common but frustrating headache, a 2017 Ford F-150 with flickering headlights and a recurring low beam out warning. The customer had already replaced the bulb twice, and the problem persisted. Upon closer inspection, the issue wasn't the bulb at all. It was a melted, corroded headlamp connector. When a connector fails due to heat or moisture, you can't just patch it and hope for the best. You need a high-quality replacement that matches OE specifications to ensure a secure secure, weather-tight connection. Otherwise, you risk high resistance and future failure. We turn to Advance Auto Parts for CarQuest Blue Pigtails to ensure a professional-grade fix. We quickly source the exact match connector featuring heavy-duty, high-temperature insulation and premium terminals engineered to thrive in the most punishing engine bay conditions. With more than 4,000 stores, Advance Auto Parts is ready to help with all your car care needs, including free battery testing and installation at most Advance locations. You can learn more right there at AdvanceAutoParts.com. Don't let your vehicle fail emissions. Be proactive and use CRC G2P. CRC Guaranteed to Pass Emissions System Cleaner features an advanced detergent formula that removes harmful deposits from fuel system components, including injectors, intake valves, combustion chambers, and more. It actually increases acceleration response time. Guaranteed to Pass will reduce emissions like carbon monoxide, hydrocarbons, and nitrogen oxide. It will also clear emissions-related check engine light codes and even improve fuel economy. Drive to crcg2p.com for more information.
Show with Dan Petras and Brian Morton.
Yes, remember it's Thursday, 10 a.m. Eastern. You can reach us right here. That number is 866-365-7746. And all the numbers, all the ways to get a hold of us right there at thecarshow.com. You can even listen to old episodes of The Car Show right there at thecarshow.com. It's very easy to use, very simple. Even I can use it, so you know it's got to be easy to use. I want to remind everybody as we get going here that we're brought to you in part by K-Seal, the global leader in coolant leak repair. Leaks in a radiator, head gasket, heater core, or water pump don't have to mean expensive repairs anymore. K-Seal is a trusted and proven one-step coolant leak repair. No draining or flushing required. You just shake it, pour, and go. You can learn more about that right there at kseal.com. Anything good been going on in the shop this week, Dan?
Well, you know, a few things. I'd like to keep it basic, but, you know, we come back, you mentioned K-Seal. You know, I had a vehicle that came into the shop. It was a 2019 Dodge Journey, 3.6 liter engine. And the customer was complaining about a coolant odor. Never seen anything on the ground, but just an odor. A little bit of investigation. Of course, I always use on these that you can't find. I start off using a cooling system dye, which you can buy that at Advance Auto. It's a little 1 ounce container, which is a good thing to keep because it stays in the system. And if you do develop a leak, you see this bright ultraviolet, like yellowish green area. So I found a leak. It was leaking on the bottom side of the thermostat housing. And the thermostat housing on these 3.6 engines that are used in, you know, the Journeys and the Jeeps and quite a few applications. Dorman came out with a aluminum thermostat housing assembly with a thermostat compared to the OE stuff, which is the plastic type housing. So what happened is over a little bit of time, it distorted, you know, because of the heat.
Yep.
So thank God, you know, for the Dorman products. But again, this isn't the first time that I've used the aluminum housing, but it's one of their OE fixes where it's a heavy duty application. So at that time, because of the miles, it had, you know, even though it's a 2019, 60,000 miles on it, I recommended doing a cooling system flush, replacing the original equipment fix with the Dorman aluminum thermostat housing and thermostat, and then using the Peak antifreeze as a bundle, doing the flush, adding all that. And here's the other important thing over it too, because of the age of the vehicle and for future leaks, I use the K-Seal. So that's one of my things that I like using on older vehicles, and it's, you know, preventative maintenance. So he went in the right direction. We have the thermostat, the cooling system flush, and he's set for another 5 years or 150,000 miles, which is a recommendation of most of the vehicles today about when you should have your coolant replaced, your cooling system flushed. And I always recommend, you know, using you know, the Dorman thermostat and housing if your vehicle applies to that, because you won't have that problem the second time around.
Yeah, I mean, it just makes sense that it seems odd to me they would use plastic to start with on something that heat's going to go through, hot, you know, liquid. It's going to distort eventually, right?
Well, you think about this too. Most vehicles today use plastic intake manifolds. They use plastic housings. And, you know, you have expansion and contraction, but that's why it's even more important to make sure when you do a cooling system flush, mm-hmm. or if you add to your system, your cooling system, if it is low, you don't cross-contaminate. The good news is the Peak products will have the, you know, the make and model of your vehicle and also the color. You know, you have yellow, you have green, you have orange, you have red, and you want to use the right coolants. Because of these plastics, if you're not using the right material, the right coolant, with its additive package, it can literally take and disintegrate and dissolve that plastic. So you want to make sure the right coolant for your engine. It's critical.
I hadn't even thought about that the chemicals dealing with the plastic. Wow.
Yeah.
So,
and the cross contamination.
Of course. Let's do a quick email here. This person has a 2019 Subaru Outback, 30,000 miles. It said 30,000 miles on their last oil change. The oil light came on about 5,000 miles after the oil change. I was a quart low. When I went to get an oil change, I told Subaru about the light and told them I add oil. They said they didn't see any leaks. I don't see smoke. I don't see oil leaking. Should I be worried that my car is burning oil this soon? And what could I do about it? She changes the oil every 6,000 miles, I said, with a 0W20 weight oil.
Well, here's mm-hmm. this, Brian. I want you to do the math for me.
Yeah.
2019, mm-hmm. think about this, 2019, 2016, that's 7 years. In 7 years, she changed it every 6,000 miles. Yeah. The vehicle only has 30,000 miles. So guess what's going on? Stiction has formed, and stiction is bad. In other words, what's going on, and I say this all the time, is that if you don't change your oil frequently enough, the oil over time can get contaminated. You know, most likely this is all start and stop driving.
Yeah.
The bottom oil ring, which is the oil ring, can actually seize. Stiction is burnt oil. So this is what she needs to do. First thing is change your oil more frequently. Don't go that 6,000 miles because you're not putting enough miles on over time. On your next oil change, you want to take and use Hotshot Secret, the Stiction Eliminator. And what it is, it's a powerful cleaner, it's a lubricator, and it can remove any of the stiction, the burnt oil, okay, without reducing any of the friction. So that's the important thing. We want to start cleaning this oil ring. And it's not going to be instant, but you need to, again, to use this on a fresh oil change, the Hotshot Secret, the Stiction Eliminator, and change your oil more frequently. If you're doing 6,000 miles a year, you're going to probably want to change it every 3,000 miles, at least twice a year. Because if not, this problem will get worse. And it is something to be concerned about, even though the dealer said they didn't find any leaks. Well, that's because you're burning it, and that oil ring, that third ring on the piston, is not scraping that oil back down into the crankcase. And what it's doing, it's actually blowing by, and you're using you're burning the oil because of that. Now, on 30,000 miles, because of the lack of oil changes, not a bad idea to change the PCV valve. That is called the positive crankcase ventilation valve, because there's a good possibility that could be, a little gummed up because of the oil vapors that travel through the engine. Not a bad idea to do that, too, at the same time.
Okay, now with the Stiction Eliminator, I know with the Tick Fix, you replace oil with a quart of that. Would you do the same with the Stiction Eliminator?
No, because this is an oil additive. I mean, it's, you know, they're probably only going to want to use I think at this point, initially, you're only going to want to use 2 ounces per quart. So she can use the container, the 16 ounce container would be fine okay. to add to it.
Yeah, I know that stiction, it's not good.
No.
And I know it's not good.
You know, and it's even more critical if it's a direct fuel injected engine. So, we forget about all this. And, you know, the chemistry today, like I stated before many, many times, is that it's just unbelievable on how these products work, whether it's in your fuel tank or even in your engine.
Yeah, and you can add it. Even if you're not having an issue, it's not going to hurt to add it.
No, it's always a good thing.
Yeah, you just do it. It's like chemical preventative maintenance.
Yes, it is.
There you go. Look at that. I thought of something, Dan.
I know. About time.
I'm going to trademark that chemical. You got me there.
Okay.
All right. So I got one. Dan got one. We'll see who ties the score coming up.
You're in the middle of a repair and you need to order a replacement part. But have you really thought about what's in your box? With over 21 manufacturing facilities worldwide, Standard is a full-line supplier of vehicle control and engine management components, offering more than 50,000 precision-engineered components that are subjected to category-specific testing, including on-vehicle validation. Advanced internal combustion engine systems like variable valve timing and turbocharging are highly dependent on timely, accurate data from multiple sensors because these systems operate on real-time closed-loop logic. To ensure these advanced systems operate as designed, Standard precision engineers each sensor for accuracy, speed, and durability. Each sensor is also extensively tested and validated in the lab and on vehicles to ensure precise performance in extreme conditions. The Standard engine sensor program includes cam and crank sensors, battery current voltage sensors, mass airflow sensors, coolant temperature sensors, and more. Professional technicians have trusted Standard since 1919. You should too. You can learn more at standardbrand.com.
Show continues with Dan Petras and Brian Morton.
Remember, if you want to email us, that's a very easy email to remember. We're The Car Show, and we're in Detroit, so it's thecarshowdetroit@gmail.com. Remember your name, year, make, model, mileage on the vehicle, and give us as much detail as possible of what's going on. Dan will answer the question. We will email it back to you. We will also answer on the air so that your problem helps other people that are having the same problem, because let's face it, we all have car problems at some point. And usually when I say I've had that problem, somebody go, yeah, me too. You know, so you're helping others. What we do here, Dan, what I think we do here really well is when we have a sponsor, our sponsors are always really great. They're really good quality, really great products. And you use everything we promote. So it's, you know, we know that it's shop tested because Dan's out there using it, right?
Well, and not only that, you know, I've been in the automotive business for 50 years plus and started off with my father's service station. And I remember, with products, with CRC products, we used them back then. In fact, CRC was, the leader at the time, but for having the aerosol brake clean, which was great for us at that time. So, and to this day, you know, that's where I got spoiled with CRC, and that's why, you know, I've always promoted CRC products and always used every one of their products, yep. Over the years.
So speaking of CRC, let's bring on their CRC technical service rep. His name is Ben Sisoliski. How are you this morning, Ben?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Pretty good. Pretty good. You heard us talking about CRC there. We do. Dan does love CRC products, I have to say. And it's because they're a good quality and they're a great product and they're easy to use. I've used them, so they must be easy to use, Ben.
Well, yeah, they definitely are.
Yeah, so, you know, coming down to it, Ben, you know, we talked about, you know, always using the right tool for the job, regardless of whether it's a chemical or a new tool. Why is it important to use a specialized electronic cleaner, you know, on plastic plugs, sensors, and instead of using a, you know, a regular degreaser or a brake cleaner? What do we do? Why is that so important?
Sure. So I would say the most important part of selecting the right product, like a contact cleaner, would be to make sure that you are using something that does not harm the plastic on the connectors, like a brake cleaner or more aggressive solvents will either melt or crack the plastic connectors there. So that's why you need to select the specialized contact cleaner.
Right. And, you know, and the thing about this, you know, being a technician all these years and that, what I've seen and people don't realize it is how an oil leak can actually migrate into these connectors. And that's why we're talking about it, so our listeners can understand what we're speaking of. So if you look up underneath your hood and you see oil debris and everything's bunched up around these connectors, that is why it's important. So, you know, why is it so important too, and on your end with the CRC quick dry feature, how does it prevent damage to the parts?
So because the solvents will evaporate so quickly, they don't stay around long enough to damage anything. And it'll help to leave a residue free surface as well, being that it's going to dry so quickly like that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Got it.
So if I'm looking in and I see that there's dirt and oil and grunge around one of the plugs, and I open it up and it's also inside there. What's the easiest and best way to clean those little tiny metal pins that are inside those connectors?
So normally you will get mechanical action, cleaning action from the product itself. The way that the aerosol sprays out, you can use the straw and attach that to the nozzle. But also sometimes you may need to grab like a toothbrush, or obviously don't reuse it after that, but or Q-tip or a toothpick sometimes, maybe something like that, or lint-free cloth.
And how do I make sure that all the grime is out of there, that I'm not going to get any of that? And I've just learned about the hidden resistance. How do I make sure that I've gotten everything out so I don't get the hidden resistance in there?
Sure. Usually with those connectors, you're able to see the female pins or the male terminals and see that they're pretty clean. And once you've wiped them off, and then it'll dry and leave no residue behind.
Cool.
Which will help to prevent any resistance there.
Awesome.
Right. You know, and also I know there's many parts on an engine, especially like oxygen sensors, that are sensitive to contamination. What if I get grease or oil on the connector? You know, what is the best way to clean it off without ruining the sensor's ability to operate correctly?
So those, you can definitely also use a product like the QD, the plastic safe cleaner, spray it in there and let it dry, or sometimes maybe even blow it out with air, and that'll help to get rid of any of that oil or grease in there. The cleaner works very effectively at removing grease and oil out of there.
Cool. All right, and when I have a module, say I'm working in there and one of my computer modules is not talking, like, to the rest of the car, what's the best way to clean that and refresh those metal connections?
Yeah, so same thing. Obviously, unplug it, check, you know, do a visual inspection, check for any oxidation you might have, grease, oil, then disassemble the connector if possible, and clean the terminals there, and let them dry, and then this way they'll have good connection going forward.
Okay. And how do I handle the other, like, computer modules and switches? How are those different than a sealed plug?
So the best thing for a module or a switch is always to disassemble if possible. Many times you can take the housing off, especially on switches too. Even though these are quick drying cleaners, you want to make sure that you do give them the chance to dry. And sometimes if you spray into a component that's not disassembled, the product can puddle or pool and it'll never actually be able to dry. So you always want to try to take things apart as much as reasonably allowable.
Okay.
So, you know, the other thing I've been thinking about, okay, so we're to the point right now that we cleaned it away and scrubbed away the, you know, the white corrosion and also what we call the green fuzz corrosion from a battery or a ground wire. Mm-hmm. What's the best way to neutralize the area so the acid doesn't come back.
Yeah, so when you're talking about batteries specifically, we do make a battery cleaner, which has actually ingredients in it that do neutralize the corrosion. And then it's going to spray out yellow, and it'll actually turn pink to indicate that there is acid on the battery. So that's the best way to clean off those connections.
Okay, so if it's all done and it's cleaned, what is the last thing we should do to keep that connection clean for the long haul?
So for those, we offer the battery terminal protector, which you would actually spray on the connection. After you've made your connection, you can spray the protector on top of it, and it'll leave a red finish on there just to let you know that it's on there. And then periodically when you're under your hood, you can check to make sure that it's still red, to make sure that it's still protecting.
Right. Yeah, I've used that product many times, and it does work. In fact, all of the products that CRC has, especially on the fact of using the, one product I know that's a little bit, I don't want to say new for CRC, is when would we use a dielectric grease? I mean, is that something that a consumer could use if they had some of CRC's dielectric grease at all?
Absolutely. Dielectric grease is great on all electrical connectors, and you want to make sure that you use it sparingly. Don't fill the connector with grease, but you can always, wipe a little bit in there. And then although the product itself is an insulator, when you make your connection, there's going to be a tension between the male pins and the female pins that's able to displace enough of the grease to make good continuity there.
Okay, which is great.
That'll protect from water getting in there.
Okay, and corrosion again, hopefully.
And I have to tell you, Dan's the car guy. Dan knows about cars, but I work mostly at a radio station. We got a couple of cans of the CRC QD electronics cleaner. I brought them in and I said, hey guys, could you use this? Our engineers here are using it to clean all the electronic equipment that when they go out on a remote, they bring it back. They're using this quick drying electronics cleaner to clean the electronics that they're using for the audio equipment too. So it's not necessarily just for your car. If you have electronics that need to be cleaning, I think this stuff's well worth using.
Oh, and I'll tell you another product too, Ben, that is great, especially on the automotive end, and is when I see an oil leak, especially we'll say oil that's saturated into the alternator and the windings, which again, I don't want to use any type of degreaser. What I use is a CRC's electromotive electric parts cleaner, which actually melts that grease away, and it's going to save that alternator over time. I mean, that's another great product.
It works great for cleaning and windings. Yeah,
we love all your stuff. Where can listeners go to find more about CRC products, Ben?
So we have a great website. It's www.crcindustries.com.
It is. It's great. I've been there. I've shopped there. Thank you, Ben. We appreciate you taking the time today.
All right. Thank you. Have a good day.
Have a good day. Today's look at maintaining your vehicle's electrical components is brought to you by CRC and their QD electronic cleaner. Modern vehicles rely on dozens of electrical components to run safely and efficiently, from sensors and wiring harnesses to battery terminals, connectors, and control modules. Over time, dirt, oil, moisture, road salt, and corrosion can build up, interfering with electrical connections, resisting current flow, and triggering warning lights, performance issues, even complete system failures. Contaminated sensor connections can send faulty data to the engine computer. This can lead to incorrect and erratic readings, check engine lights, limited engine power, emission system failures, poor MPG, and can lead to bigger problems such as a no start condition. CRC's QD electronic cleaner can handle dirty or corroded sensor connections, in addition to parts like contacts, circuits, and computer components. It's plastic safe, dries quickly, and leaves no residue. Keeping electrical components clean helps ensure accurate signals, strong connections, and reliable operation. It also prevents premature wear, protects against moisture intrusion, and extends the life of critical vehicle systems. You can drive to crcindustries.com for more information.
To the car Car Show with Dan Petras and Brian Morton.
Remember, if you missed an episode, you can always find it at thecarshow.com. All our contact information is there. All the information you need is right there at thecarshow.com. The contact information is right there on the front page, right at the top. Everything else very easy to find. Very simple, easy to navigate site, but thecarshow.com is probably a really good place to go if you're looking for us, because, you know, that's usually where we're at. Unless we're here,
well,
right, Dan?
There you, I was just going to mention that, Brian. You beat me to it.
Unless we're here, we're there. We're, no matter where you go, there you are. That's what they tell me.
Right, right.
All right, this is a little bit personal, but I think a lot of people, especially as it's getting warmer and the summer's coming, are going to be doing this. We're going to take a road trip in a week or so. And I, you know, the car's not that old. The car's pretty new. And I'm wondering, and I think other people will have this too, no matter how old your car is, what should I be doing before the trip? And what should I be doing after the trip if I'm taking like a long road trip, 7 or 8 hour drive?
Well, you know, bottom line is this, always, you know, look at your maintenance records. That's going to be the first thing. Mm-hmm. If you're pretty well covered across the board, and I don't want people to get the negative false feeling that or the good feeling that, hey, boy, I take my vehicle in for an oil change and they do everything for me. Well, that's not the case.
Right.
So many times, you know, do a walk around on your vehicle. You know, take a look at the tires, for an example. Let's, you know, rub your hand over the top of the tire. See if you feel any cupping or feathering of the tires, because that's an indication right there of an alignment. And, you know, alignments are important along with tire pressure and the condition of the tires, because it affects fuel economy. If you're out of alignment and you're taking this long road trip, not only are you going to have a problem with more tire wear, but the decrease in fuel economy. Go back to the basics, you know, mm-hmm. the cooling system, how many miles are on your car. You know, this is different from a brand new car to a used car. So right. There's a lot of variables, but it's tires, tire pressure. Take a look at the age of your battery. This is very important. If you know it's 3 years old or older, you got to make that decision if it's time to change it, because battery failures happen more during the summer months than the winter. Why? Because it's the heat and the vibration that will kill a battery. And of course, there's many different battery styles. So what you can do is go to autobatteries.com and look up your vehicle, make and model, and see what type of battery is in your vehicle. It could be a lead acid battery. It could be a AGM style battery, which is going to give you a little bit more life, which they're going to last maybe 4 to 5 years compared to the average 3 to 4 for a lead acid battery. And that's important, because the worst thing you could do is get stranded on a road somewhere because of that. Yeah. And like you found out in the past, there's never a warning. It just happens.
Yep.
You know, and of course, you know, we're going to talk about everything, you know, the coolant levels, servicing the cooling system. You know, if it's been a while, especially with the warmer weather coming on, and you know you haven't had the cooling system serviced, you do want to do that with a thermostat, cooling system flush. You know, look at a lot of the vehicles today don't have power steering fluid, but if yours is equipped with that, you want to look at that. Take a look at the condition. See if there's an odor to it. If it smells, if it's a burn odor, you're going to want to have that serviced. But it's all the fluids. You know, and lighting, that's also important. Do a walk around. Make sure that the headlights are operational, the stop lights, the side marker lights. So important on that end. And you know, you want to see, we said this before, we want to see where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
Check out the wiper blade condition.
Yeah.
You know, make sure that the wipers are in good shape. And then again, too, you know, always, I always say that too, you know, use the PEEK wiper blades because of the fact that they do have the good wiping quality, and they're going to last longer. Right. A lot of these blades will get ripped up during the winter months because of people not cleaning their windshields and running them over ice. So, you know, all of that, anything, you know, pertaining to safety. And of course, you know, last is brakes. you know, even though it may stop fine, there's still that great possibility that the brake lining is getting close. And today with the better brake materials, the better media that's used on the brakes, you'll find out that if you replace the brakes, and even though you didn't have a problem, if it's needed, if the service technician will tell you, hey, you're down to, you know, 40%, it's amazing on how much better your vehicle will stop with the new brake lining, because the lining itself over time can get crystallized and hardened. And the biggest part about this is having a way for the brake lining to transfer the heat to get away and to get rid of that crystallization. But big notice, especially, you know, if you're doing 70 miles an hour on the expressway and you need to come to a, you know, a stop, or a, not a sudden stop, but to a stop, you'll notice the braking ability is a lot greater where the stopping power is there compared to like city driving. You may not notice it as much.
Okay. Now what about after? Say I've done my road trip, I'm back home, and the car has just pulled, like, say, 2 6-hour trips, so 12-hour one way, 6-hour one way, 6-hour the other way. Is there anything I should be looking at after?
Well, trip? You know, just other like anything else, you always want to check your fluids after the trip, even if you start back. And the main reason for that is, what if you developed a leak? That is why I always recommend, if it's, you know, a coolant leak, you're going to use K-Seal. Yeah. And of course, with an oil leak, we don't know where it's from, because it could be the power steering. It could be engine oil. But again, that is critical on the way back. And do a walk around, you know, take a look at your tires, make sure there's no bulges or anything that have formed on the sides, maybe from a pothole that you hit and didn't realize you hit it. But overall, you know, you're pretty well set to go because of the initial inspection before you started the trip.
Yeah, and that, I guess that makes sense, because you never know what bumps you're going to hit and not really notice on the road, or rocks flying up under the, you know, I'm sure rocks are flying up into that engine compartment that you never know what's going to hurt or break. I know a lot of people are going to be traveling. It's not always about me. I know there's other people traveling too.
Well, Brian, you know, depending on where they're going, you know, the warmer weather.
Oh yeah.
If you think, how many times have you ran into a swarm of bugs?
Oh yes. Yes.
Well, in you know, working on vehicles, changing radiators and replacing AC condensers, you would not believe the amount of debris that forms in the front. Because think about it. You have to have an open area in front of your car or vehicle that you're driving for airflow for cooling purposes. So it's not a bad idea if you wash your car. I mean, this doesn't happen through a drive-through car wash. Not a bad idea to take that hose, your garden hose, when you are washing your car and try to get squirt off all the bugs out of that radiator that you can. You may have to raise the hood. Sometimes there's a little protective panel in the top that you may have to take off, but just rinse them down and wash them down, because I had a vehicle in here last week in the shop that, you know, it was high mileage. It had about 180,000 miles on it, and it had a problem with the radiator. And I could not believe the amount of cottonwood. You know, that cottonwood is, you know, more to our area maybe than anything else. It's like cotton, exactly what it's like, and how much that can restrict your cooling system. And even the engine, the transmission oil coolers, the power steering coolers, you know, that's something to be critical about on your trip coming back, especially if you ran through, you know, a lot of bugs, a lot of swarms.
Which, if you are, you by spring, you probably will be. All right.
Oh, yes.
Another one in the books, Dan. I think we did a good job. I'm going to pat us on the back.
I'll do it twice.
There you go. Until next week, everybody have a safe driving week ahead.
Compatible with any color or type antifreeze coolant, Peak Titanium Antifreeze Plus Coolant features an advanced proprietary formula that cleans while also protecting against corrosion and the formation of films that contribute to lost coolant flow and overheating. Peak Titanium is guaranteed for 15-plus years or 500,000 miles when a complete cooling system flush and fill is performed and proper cooling system maintenance is followed. You can learn more at peakauto.com or buy today at O'Reilly Auto Parts and at Amazon.com. The 12-volt battery is an essential part of today's EVs or electric vehicles, playing multiple roles. First, it helps manage peak electrical loads, ensuring smooth operation of various systems. Second, it powers essential systems like security and over-the-air updates when the vehicle is off. And third, it ensures safety-critical and by-wire systems remain operational in the event of high-voltage system failure. You can drive to autobatteries.com for more information about 12-volt batteries. That's all right there at autobatteries.com.